This is Pure Decking, show number 321 for Thursday, September 6th, I think. I don't know.
7th.
7th. Okay, well.
6th here.
Depends on what side of the world you're on.
This is Pure Decking, show number 321 from the future. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like information security, pointing out how rigged the game is, and forgetting how time zones work. I'm Morbs, and tonight we have Madman. Madman, what are we drinking?
I'm drinking a Shotgun Wedding by Country Boy. The brown ale, aged on vanilla beans. I was drinking it last week. And I also have shirts. Amazon has delivered me shirts. I've died of dysentery. I'm wearing that one tomorrow.
It's a bit of a non sequitur.
It's an Oregon Trail reference. It's got the whole broken wagon, you've died of dysentery.
No, I got the joke, but I was going for theater of the mind. I was just, you know, imagining you dead at your desk of dysentery, still doing a show.
Speaking of dying of dysentery, I read a story this morning that 10 Kenyans had died from tainted holy water.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, tragic. Wait a minute.
Well, wait a minute. I'm like, haha, tainted holy water, and then it clicks like, they died.
Of dysentery from tainted holy water.
Oh.
Talk about a bad day. Are you?
Yeah.
What are you drinking?
Atmospheric secretions.
Brave man.
That could be acid.
Could be a lot of things. Depends on what's in the atmosphere where he is. Oh, wait, that's radiation. That's like a lot of radiation. All right, Swap, what are you drinking, man?
I'm drinking a gin and tonic right now.
Classy.
Bond. James Bond.
What I got.
He did vodka martinis. Shaken, not stirred.
So, moving on to the discussion here. RU sent me this article to laugh at, and I thought it was kind of interesting to talk about. It's from Fox News. So, of course, you know, for what it's worth, it's a bullshit story. First and foremost, it is a bullshit story. It says, boy, 15, beheaded himself with a chainsaw after losing a computer game. Russian police are investigating claims a boy beheaded himself with a chainsaw after losing a computer game. According to reports, Pavel Matev, 15, went into his yard Monday morning before he switched on a chainsaw and sawed off his own head. So,
right.
Short of building
it, gets plus 30 man points or his murderer gets plus 5.
Oh, crap. The printer's out of filament. BRB. Keep talking.
Hey, the show is now on hold.
It's one of those stories where you read at the headline and you go, boy cuts own head off. How is this possible? Think about it. But the tech related part, it's a video game.
Okay. So here's the way you would do it. Start up the chainsaw. Tape the throttle open. Vice grip? No, not vice grips. A vice. You need a full-blown vice. Stick the chainsaw in the vice. Drop your neck onto it.
Even then. This story is absolute horseshit. But what are they doing with this story when you look at it? Young man kills himself because of video games. Bit of a
hit
piece.
Chainsaw.
The chainsaw, like... But it's not even disguised well. That's just what I'm thinking, man. And same with, I saw another story this morning. It's Instagram model dies after falling off the back of a yacht. And when you dig into it a little bit more, it actually turns out to be she's a prostitute and she was on the back of a cartel super yacht. Boom. Just interesting. That's all. But I don't know. Morps have probably got more on it.
I kind of need more details.
Yeah, I looked around, and this is why I think the story's bullshit. I could only find a second source for the story, but and it was just...
I almost wonder, like, and I see, like, they're talking about, like, Russia has seen several so-called death groups allegedly incite children and teenagers to take their own lives while playing online games. I like how they call it death groups instead of, like, 14-year-old children.
14-year-old edgelords.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, go kill yourself.
You heard like, of the blue whale?
How many times have you read that?
Yeah, that wasn't just Russia, though. That was everywhere.
Yeah, you heard
the blue whale. Like, there's no death groups. There's, like, angsty teenagers.
Exactly. I don't know.
I think blue whale had a body count, didn't it?
22, wasn't it? Let me look it up. We got Google. We can look it up. We're getting down there.
Okay, so maybe there are death groups.
They're just not very many, and when you hear death group, think it's bullshit until you confirm it several other places. Blue Well was genuine, though.
Was it, though? Or was it just one of those, well, I know a guy who knew a dude whose next-door neighbor killed himself doing the Blue Whale trials. I think it's just another one of those bullshit.
I don't think it was as big as people were saying it was, but I think it got enough fanfare that 8 retarded people actually killed themselves.
So I found a Daily Mail article.
The Daily Mail. The pillar.
But they claim there's more than 1,300 death groups where teenagers are encouraged to kill themselves, such as Blue Whale game.
Did we ever figure out what game the guy was playing?
No, they Fortnite. Won't say. Oh, Fortnite. That makes sense.
This is how I think it happened anyway, and we're getting a little bit IHN-y here.
Oh, go IHN, it's fine.
I'm pretty much, mom came home, saw her son playing Fortnite, realized he had no potential left, and killed him.
And said, nope, he cut his own head off with that chainsaw. I'm just wondering about the logistics of that. Did he build a guillotine or something?
That's the story, like, Madman went down with.
You know, like, that chain's going to, like, push your body off the chainsaw before you're going to get all the way through.
I've been wielding a chainsaw in the last couple of weeks. And, dude, if you just dropped your neck on the chainsaw, for the start, you have to have the clutch engaged. So you would have had to have had one hand on the saw, but the minute it would have disengaged unless he taped the clutch
zip ties
down.
or duct tape or something.
And then dropped his neck on it, it would still just shoot him straight off it because the chainsaw goes
you have to, like,
clockwise.
Have it set up so you're braced against something.
Yeah, you'd physically have to force yourself down because if you just drop a chainsaw on a piece of wood, the wood runs away. You've actually got to secure the wood and put some effort into it. So this guy had to have secured his neck onto a chainsaw with some force. Doesn't make sense.
I'm just imagining a guillotine with a chainsaw instead of a big, sharp, angled blade, which is kind of a badass Warhammer 40K looking thing. But okay. It's from Russia, so, you know, it could be exaggerated. And you know how there was that whole Russian prank thing for a while there where they would stage photos and stuff? So maybe it's somebody screwing around. Maybe it's a bullshit story. The reason I wanted to talk about it... I forgot to mention, I'm drinking Jim Beam Devil's Cut tonight. And I did happen to just look up at the right time to see on the webcam just a little bit of filament whoop, going into the extruder, and that was the end of it, right? I had to run away. I was like, oh, shit. You just look up and you just see the last of it disappear into the extruder. It's like, fuck, I get to go run downstairs real quick. Why are they running it at all? I mean, it doesn't pass the smell test. There's, you know, besides... go ahead.
After reading this article, it reminded me of something. So I went back and looked, and I bet you we covered that on IHN back at some point. There's a guy who killed himself with the chainsaw, cut off his own head. He had arranged the chainsaw in such a way... so as to facilitate his suicide, the article said. It was like a 52-year-old.
It's not a well-written anti-video game story, is what it is.
It's been done before.
That's what I was looking at. Is it coming at young male aggression, or I don't know what they were trying to do. I found another article about it, and this one reads even worse. The headline's opening quotes. He just sawed it off. That's the opening.
I'm just saying that's a hell of a willpower check to just, you know, finish the job.
That's what I mean. He just sawed it off, his mother said. Like, it happens every day. This little kid, if it's this kid in the photo, doesn't have the arms to wield a chainsaw to start with.
Well, I'm sure that photo's a few years before, because that's definitely not a 15-year-old. There's no way that kid is 15.
Well, that's fairly certain that's probably not the kid. They just found a picture of a kid playing a game.
Yeah.
There's multiple pictures of this same kid.
In the Sun article, not the one from Fox. The one from Fox looks like stock footage.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so. For sure.
Yeah, they're because they're trying to say, oh, it's a blue whale or something. But I just, why are they running stories like this? That's the real question, right? It's like, I mean, you know, or why are you even entertaining the bullshit? It's like that Instagram story you were telling me about, are you? It's like, no, that was a hooker. I
mean, yeah, I'm an Instagram model. No, you're a prostitute. I'm sorry. Susie's doing very well at university. She's also modeling on Instagram. Prostitute.
Hey, why not both?
Why not both? Yeah. Hey,
that's just called advertising
somehow.
I've heard that some of those like really popular Instagram girls, they make a fuck ton of money.
Oh yeah, like, $100,000 for a weekend and shit that.
Yeah, like ridiculous money.
Oh, yeah. Not on Instagram. Just using Instagram as advertising.
No, got it. Yeah,
I'm sitting there going, wait. How do you monetize?
Well, because they've like developed this like name brand for themselves, and they have all this exposure, so they get contacted by like fucking like Sikhs and crazy shit like that, who are like, hey, I come out for the week.
Yeah, I've read some of the emails.
$100,000.
There was a heap of emails published on one woman. What she was doing for money, and it was good on her, sort of.
there's empowered. A lot of risk there.
Yeah, you're really empowered going to the EAU, and you know you're not exactly a person when you go to Saudi Arabia when you're a woman.
But you know, at the same time, fuck ton of money.
It's a fuck ton. Yeah, I'm not jealous. I don't know how to feel about this. I think I want to do some of the things that these girls do for money. Yeah. Actually, I don't even think I want to watch what some of these girls will do for money. I don't know. I can't put my finger on it more. So you know what I mean?
Yeah. There's just something off about this whole mess. And it's not just one story. It's several of them.
And I don't want to say conspiracy theory. Or anything like that.
No, because I don't think it is a conspiracy. I think there's just something. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't think it's a conspiracy, but I don't know what it is.
Maybe just clickbait? Maybe?
Doc Gross has a point. Until they publish the obit and the coroner's report, it's clickbait.
Good point, Swaggers.
Very good point.
But no one's going to cover it after that. There's no follow-up coverage of these things. Like, I want a follow-up coverage of the Instagram model and the people that were on the boat. Let's face it. And she snorted up way too much blow, and they threw her overboard and drowned her. There's not going to be a prosecution. There's not going to be any follow-up with these stories. So why print them? And that's, I think, Psychos there. Clickbait.
But even clickbait's been getting...
Well, it's not even clickbait at this point because there's so many stories like that.
Yeah.
I would have just breezed past it, but I saw it pop up on my news feed. And then when I went looking for the story, I could only find that one story. And now I look today and everybody's running the story.
Well, usually when Fox picks it up and runs it, I mean, they're still considered a major news outlet, so if they pick it up and run it, the other outlets are at least going to look at it.
Well, it came across in Associated Press, and so I went looking for their story, and even they didn't print it. But today they have printed it. as much as you can print digitally. Like,
Well, you know, it's sort of up there. What it makes me think about, and you know, we talked about this earlier in the week, minorly. Supposedly, the guy who wrote Temple OS died, right?
Yeah.
But then they couldn't confirm it, and they were deleting threads and all this other stuff. And now the Temple OS website has a thing on it saying, like, contribute here to help people with mental health, because obviously. But, you know, that's one of those things where it's like, why did that get the following it did?
You know,
you know, it's just some dude's hobby project, and he said crazy shit on the internet. Well, okay, those are a dime a dozen. I give you 4chan. But
Terry was special, man.
He was, he was a special level of crazy, because he actually had the software chops to back up what he was doing, because he was writing this thing. But
it shows you that genius can drive you insane. And that's what happened to Terry, man. He just descended into madness.
Yeah.
And it was an interesting spotlight with Terry on mental health and money in America. Terry had a shit ton of money, and that's why they couldn't commit him. Because Terry could pay the lawyers not to have him committed. So Terry just got to live the American dream free. I don't know how Terry died. No one seems to want to do a story on it, unfortunately.
People with mental health usually have other health issues.
Well, the rumor was he was hit by a car. That's the rumor. It's completely unsubstantiated.
It's as crazy as the dude was. I would believe it if you said he was chasing after the car like a dog. But
Terry was a whole level of different, and it wouldn't surprise me if he'd died through misadventure. You know, he thought he was doing something for the Lord, or trying to kill a glow in the dark CIA.
Yeah, some of his streams were, but I mean, he wasn't the youngest guy either. What was he? 60?
No, towards the later videos. Oh, man, it started here to look like he was on malnourished Temple OS, and his stuff.
He was born in 69, so.
Okay. So yeah, 57? Something like that? I don't know.
49.
Well, that's not too bad, but he was looking a little malnourished in his last couple of videos.
Well, he probably wasn't taking the greatest care of himself either. So,
when Terry should have had a big story about him.
Yeah, he should have.
He's a minor celebrity.
I guess the visual spectacle of a kid taking their head off with a chainsaw, but anybody who's actually used one of those things knows it's not like it is in the Doom game where you just have to touch something and it flies apart.
Exactly. And I don't think I'm going to spew out extra ammo. Please don't hit me with a chainsaw next time I'm visiting Morps. I don't have ammo inside me.
Of course you don't. You're from a country that bans guns. Madman, on the other hand.
I'm just wondering if when Christopher Chan dies, will there be a big thing?
I don't know. I mean, Madman, you're usually a little bit more level about this kind of shit. What do you think, man?
Well, I don't think there's going to be a big thing because these guys, they are famous. They are niche famous. So if you're into computing, you know about Temple OS. You know about the crazy guy and his videos. If you're not, he's nobody. And as far as committing him, that's a big problem with our mental health system. To be forcefully committed, you have to be a danger to yourself or others, and you have to be a danger to yourself at the time the authorities show up. And if medication fixes you while you're on medication, they'll just stick the medication in you, you're no longer a danger to yourself or others, and then you get to leave. They need to change our definition for committing people from danger to yourself or others back to can you take care of yourself?
Yeah.
The dead guy, JFK, changed that back in the 60s. It was one of his – I think he had good thoughts behind it. It was after a rash of some rather bad stories came out from certain insane asylums. But instead of fixing the problem, he decided all insane asylums must be bad. So let's just dump all of our mentally ill out of insane asylums.
Yeah.
And that's caused a lot of problems in the U.S., not just with people staying out that need to be committed, but a big chunk of our homeless problem are just people that need short-term care until they're back on their feet, like PTSD. I think a lot of people can get over that, so they just need forceful treatment until they're cured. And then there are some people with schizophrenia that they just need to be committed, either on meds or off meds.
What about the kid with the chainsaw? I mean,
that guy? I think it's a puff piece. I'm not even sure the kid's dead. But like I said, if he is, plus 30 man points or plus 10 to his murderer.
Yeah.
Because if he was killed, I'm going to say that's still a manly way to kill somebody with a chainsaw. But yeah, beheading, he had to do it. There had to be a contraption built. Unless they're just thinking he wasn't beheaded, it was just, they're calling it beheaded, and all he really did was tear out his throat and possibly either his artery or, what's the vein in your neck? The carotid artery and then the whatever vein. If one of those goes, you're dead.
Yeah.
And a chainsaw could nick either of those.
What do you think, Swab, before we move on here to news stories?
I'm done. I'm done with that one.
Okay, well. Fair enough. Going all the way, I have nothing. So, next one is from the BBC, and Art, you sent me this one. State data to be used to limit child gamers in China. Chinese technology giant Tencent is introducing tough new rules to identify underage gamers amid a crackdown on gaming addiction in the country. From mid-September, it will introduce a real name registration system for its Honor of Kings game, which will be linked to China's public security database. So this is those like social IDs they were talking about. It will identify children and restrict the time they spend on the game. The move is the first of its kind in the world's largest gaming market. Tencent, which also operates the Chinese social network WeChat, posted its first profit decline since 2005 this summer, blaming the drop on tighter regulations, specifically around the approval of licenses that allow companies to make money from new mobile games. Damn, you have to have a license to make mobile games in China. Well, I've been wondering when the operator's license for general purpose computers will come out, and it looks like China's winning. Honor of Kings is a hugely popular multiplayer role-playing battle game based on Chinese historical figures. It is specifically designed to play on a mobile system, which has added to its popularity because many young gamers do not have access to a game console or PC at home. The app is free to download, but players have to pay to upgrade their characters and costumes in order to advance to the next level. The game was criticized last year for its addictive nature in government-owned newspaper People's Daily, which called it a poison and a drug. Yeah, that's wow. Encouraging when your government is calling your product poison and a drug. Following the criticism, Tencent took the decision to restrict the time children could play it, with children under 12 limited to 1 hour a day and those between 13 and 18 to 2 hours. To 18, damn! I was going to say maybe 16, but... the new system will help it more accurately identify younger players and better guide underage players to game sensibly, the company said in a statement on its official WeChat account. President Xi Jinping has spoken about the need to address the problem of gaming addiction, in particular voicing concerns about how it may be affecting children's eyesight. Myopia was becoming more common among younger children, the Xinhua News agency reported him as saying in August. Following his comments, China's Ministry of Education announced that it would curb the number of new online games available to children and take new measures to limit their time in games. The Ministry of Education in China is regulating the mobile games market.
You know they don't have a free market, right?
Yes. I just that sentence right there boggles my mind so badly. That just wow. Earlier this month, another Tencent game, Monster Hunter World, was banned in China just days after going on sale. It's not clear what was behind the ban, although the Chinese government has blocked dozens of games in the past, typically for featuring excessive violence, drug-taking, or sex. So...
Monster Hunter is excessively violent?
I don't know, that's just...
I'm unaware that you can't... I'm not aware if you can do drugs or have sex with them, but... I wouldn't have thought Monster Hunter.
That's just a lack of creativity on your part, sir.
I just wonder if they had something like the Conan Exiles or Rust character set up.
Oh, okay, yeah. Where the character can be nude.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, literally, they're tying into a government database to identify their players, going, oh, you're underage, you're only allowed to game for an hour a day. Now... Yeah. They're not reporting it back. They're only kicking you out of their game, right? So how long before this gets turned around the other way? Because they already control their market like this, and you have to have a license to develop mobile games. So how long before it's like, no, you have to report time played back to the government database in case they're a child so that we can kick them off.
Yeah. And then they're also going to have to ban all games that don't connect to their central Chinese government database.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't put that past China anyways, but I just...
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, it might be nice to own every hard copies of all your games right now if you live in China. Just saying.
Yeah, or, you know, maybe have a device that's jailbroken and not...
Really? They really want to try and fuck around with jailbreaking shit with the Chinese government?
Actually, no. I was actually thinking, you know, you can get on Amazon and get these little handheld Game Boy emulators that run old school NES games, SNES, and emulators and shit like that. They don't have a modem in them, so you know they're not that expensive.
With Google's help, they will fucking find you and they will execute you. Thank you, Google, helping us to think.
Yeah,
the right way.
That's...
Although, I do actually like the tool. I just think it should be parents getting an alert and able to set the amount of time their children are on the game.
I think that's probably the right answer right there, Madman. Yeah. Is, you know, parent your kids. Don't trust the mobile phone to parent your kids.
Yeah, but when you've got to work 20 hours a day at Foxconn just to, you know, make ends meet, you don't have time to parent that child.
And that's when Google steps in.
You know, maybe you're making Nike shoes for 17 hours a day and you don't have time to parent your child. Starting to see a bit of a theme here.
Yeah.
It's fine because they stand with the dream.
Damn straight.
All right. Next article is from ZDNet. Oh, did you have something else you wanted to throw in?
Oh, I was just going to say we will see that here. In my country, without a doubt.
We're going to see it everywhere. Eventually.
The only result I can see from that, like at this point, is just that one company is really screwing themselves over because, you know, people are just going to go play other games. Not going to just stop them from playing games entirely. Driving them away from their game.
Well, I'm kind of thinking that too, but that's why I was saying, well, what happens when it becomes mandatory and everyone has to put it in their games? But I think what they're going to do is they're going to, you know, let's put on the Alex Jones hat here a little bit. They're going to prove that they can do it in the Chinese market, and then they'll start introducing it in other places.
Yeah, they'll offer it as a feature for capitalism.
I don't know if other places will pick it up. There are some significant cultural differences between China and a lot of the rest of the world.
Dude, my government is cradle to the grave right now, and they love it. They'll bring this in, and I'm pretty sure Major's government will as well.
Yeah, probably. They
want you from cradle to grave.
Yeah.
Our next article is from ZDNet. Mega NZ Chrome extension caught stealing passwords, cryptocurrency, private keys.
Nice.
The official Chrome extension for Mega.nz file sharing service has been compromised with malicious code that steals usernames and passwords, but also the private keys for cryptocurrency accounts, ZDNet has learned. The malicious behavior was found in the source code of the Mega.nz Chrome extension version 3.39.4, released in as an update earlier today. When was this published? On the 4th. So this was on the 4th. Google engineers have already intervened and removed the extension from the official Chrome Web Store and also disabled the extension for existing users. According to an analysis of the extension source, the malicious code triggered on sites such as Amazon, Google, Microsoft, GitHub, My Ether Wallet, and My Monero Web Wallet services and the IDX cryptocurrency trading platform. The malicious code would record usernames, passwords, and other session data that attackers would need to log in and impersonate users. If the website managed cryptocurrency, the attacker would also extract the private keys needed to access the user's funds. Cryptocurrency is crashing right now, so good luck. A lot of the banks that were talking about setting up exchanges are now talking about dropping them. Because, Ethereum apparently is really bottoming out at the moment. We can check actual prices. Hang on, where's the thing? Yes, yeah,
these cryptocurrencies, man, they'll come and go. They'll fall in and out of favor.
Yeah. Bitcoin's down to 6,005 at the moment, and Ethereum's at 230. So that's significantly down from where they were a few months ago. Let's see, where was I? The extension would send all the collected data to a server located at the Mega Pack host hosted in Ukraine. Chrome users who use the extension should review the Chrome browser extension section and double check that it's been disabled. Out of an abundance of caution, all users should reset passwords at the affected services and move cryptocurrency funds to new accounts safeguarded by new private keys. I'm not talking about market cap, Psychros. He's saying Dogecoin still has 350 in market cap. Sucks for the guy who founded it because he didn't keep any of it. And they went and talked to him at his programming job, and he's like, you did what? Dogecoin's worth what? It's a great interview. Because you could tell the guy was, in the back of his mind, you could tell he's like, yeah, I thought it was a joke. You all shouldn't have invested in that. In other words, he's going, damn it, why didn't I keep like a ton of that stuff? That's what he was thinking. But, the actual value of these currencies is just... Although my understanding is there's still a ton of money to be made in trading them if you know that game.
I think I have some Dogecoin kicking around somewhere. I might have went back in the days when I was mining. I was just picking up every different currency I could think of.
How much of it have you got? A Dogecoin is like Dogecoin is like a half cent or something like that.
It was a few thousand. So I probably have like $5 or something.
Hey, go get a coffee. Yeah. I'll pay you in Dogecoin. That'll end well for you. Let's see. Other extensions have been compromised with malicious code in the past 2 years. In most instances, past hacks happened after attackers phished extension devs and used access to their accounts to push malicious versions of legitimate extensions. I guess that would be kind of the phishing dream, wouldn't it? Be like, you get the account, you log in, you see it's like the guy who does, I don't know, uBlock Origin or some bullshit like that, right? And it's like, oh, I can push this update to uBlock Origin now. You know how many people you'd get with shit like that, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Or NoScript or any number of these things. Because you do realize even with like NoScript and stuff, all these browser extensions are usually written in JavaScript. So... credit for discovering the malicious code inside the Mega NZ Chrome extension goes to an Italian developer and contributor to the Monero project, who goes by the online pseudonym of Serhack, Serhack.
He tips his fedora.
Yes. In hacker smile.
A copy of the Mega NZ Chrome extension version 3.39.4, the one containing malicious code, is available via a Dropbox account. I'm sure that link's no good now. Security researchers who looked at the Mega NZ Firefox add-on did not find any malicious code, and they did an update. Mega spokesperson responded to ZDNet's request for comment, confirming the report that Mega has shared new details about the incident. The malicious version was uploaded to the Chrome Web Store at 14:30 UTC. Mega NZ submitted a new clean version of the extension to the Chrome web store, which is version 3.39.5. 4 hours later, Google staff removed the extension 1 hour later and 5 hours after the initial breach. We'd like to apologize for the significant incident, a Mega NZ spokesperson said. We're currently investigating the exact nature of the compromise of our Chrome Web Store account. They're talking about how Google doesn't allow signatures on Chrome extensions, which, if you have a compromised account, that may or may not help. So,
yeah.
Anyways.
I guess it's just one added level.
It depends on how you manage it. Like, if you're actually running a software dev house and you have a controlled publisher chain, like one dev can't just push code, then yeah, it helps. And a signature is certainly a way to manage that. But it also ensures that the code wasn't compiled by somebody else. So, right. But if you've got a breached account, depending on how you do your dev, there's a good chance that that signature is in the breached account, right? So... maybe not. It depends on how you set it up. If you do it right, you're not supposed to keep your private keys in any kind of cloud account or anything that can be accessed publicly. But not everybody does things like that. Look up the format for RSA private keys and do a search on GitHub sometime when you're bored. Anyways, there's a lot of them. Amazon keys too. By the way, that's if you publish your project on GitHub and you have your Amazon private keys in there, don't be surprised when you discover lots of people mining, Bitcoin on your Amazon account, and you have to pay for it. So, because it happens a lot. Next one's from abc.net.au. So, as you can imagine, you sent me this one. The FBI has charged a North Korean computer programmer with a series of high-profile cyber attacks, including the 2007 WannaCry ransomware and the hacking of Sony Pictures in 2014. Park Jin-hawk, H-Y-O-K. Hike? Hulk? I don't know how to say that.
No clue, man.
Who is believed to be in North Korea, acted on behalf of the North Korean government, the U.S. says. He's also charged with conspiring with others to steal $81 million from a bank in Bangladesh, according to the Justice Department's criminal complaint. The U.S. believes he was working for a North Korean-sponsored hacking organization known as the Lazarus Group, which tried to reach multiple other U.S. businesses, according to the complaint, including defense contractor Lockheed Martin. The complaint said that there was no evidence Lockheed was actually breached. The FBI had long suspected North Korea was behind last year's WannaCry cyber attack, which used malware to scramble the data at hospitals, factories, government agencies, banks, and other businesses across the globe. It infected more than 300,000 computers in 150 countries and was considered unprecedented in scale at the time, knocking British hospitals offline and disrupting FedEx's IT networks. The Sony attack led to the release of a trove of sensitive personal information about Sony employees, including social security numbers, financial records, salary information, as well as the embarrassing emails among top executives. The hack included four yet-to-be-released Sony films, among them Annie, and one that was in theaters, the Brad Pitt film Fury, and cost the company tens of millions of dollars. I don't remember any of these pictures.
Fury was okay.
Fury was
World
good.
War II tank movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
This is one of the most complex and longest cyber investigations the department has taken, Assistant Attorney General for National Security John Demir said. The U.S. officials believe the Sony hack was retribution for The Interview, a comedy film that starred Seth Rogen and James Franco and centered on a plot to assassinate North Korea's leader, Kim Jong-un.
Bullshit.
Sony canceled
we called bullshit on that last year.
Yeah, we did. Sony canceled the theatrical release of the film amid threats to moviegoers, but released it online through YouTube and other sites. I thought that was like people involved with the film who released it online, and Sony later was like, okay. I didn't think they actually intended to do that.
They released it Netflix style.
Yeah.
It was a shit movie, too.
Yep, I think they realized they made a shit movie. They're like, you know what we can do? We can turn this into an excellent propaganda campaign. I meant we can turn this into an excellent advertising campaign.
Yeah.
And it may have went from a shit movie to a profitable one, depending on how many people watched it on Netflix.
The criminal complaint filed in Los Angeles alleges that hackers committed several attacks from 2014 to 2018. The investigation is continuing. It is the first time Justice Department has brought criminal charges against a hacker said to be from North Korea. In the recent years, the department has charged hackers from China, Iran, and Russia in hopes of publicly shaming other countries for sponsoring cyber attack on U.S. corporations. But it is unlikely that he will be extradited to the U.S. because we have no formal relations with North Korea and the North Korean government was not notified about the charges. So, in other words, you've actually accomplished nothing.
Exactly. Dude's sitting back there 6 months ago, when US and North Korea are, you know, coming together and going, oh, fuck.
No, he wasn't. He knew damn well they weren't going to extradite him.
And just because we're talking doesn't mean we're going to extradite. China doesn't extradite a lot of their people, and we have an extradition treaty with them.
So, next article is from Inverse.com. And I just thought the numbers were interesting. I don't quite know where they got them, but it's interesting. Facebook might be in trouble, not just because Sheryl Sandberg had to testify before Congress on Wednesday about foreign interference and fake news on the platform. According to a new Pew Research study, 44% of younger U.S. users, in this case aged 18 to 29, say they have deleted the Facebook app from their phone in this last year. It's a lot of millennials and Gen Z users key to keep the app relevant and growing. The new study found that about a quarter, 26% of Facebook's users 18 and older, have deleted the Facebook app from their cell phone. Did they ask them why they removed it? Because a lot of people take it off their phone because it runs the fucking battery down. It's already a huge chunk of users that Facebook executives should probably be concerned about. But younger users especially seem to be getting rid of the app on their mobile devices in the greatest numbers. The findings are from a survey of adults in the United States conducted between May 29th and June 11th and done after a former data firm Cambridge Analytica was revealed to be collecting data on millions of Facebook users. The survey also asked users if they had adjusted their privacy settings in the past 12 months, as privacy concerns with the platform have become common knowledge. 54% of Facebook users ages 18 and older have done so, according to the results, but notably 64% of younger users have adjusted their settings to just a third of Facebook users 65 and older. Well, yeah, old people don't give a shit. Plus, only 12% of users ages 65 and older deleted the Facebook app from their phone recently, so clearly age is a factor. Also, that's a really short survey period. May 29th to June 11th?
Yeah.
I mean, and that's also right after the Cambridge Analytica stuff, so that's... I'm concerned that the study is cherry-picking its data.
Yeah, I do remember actually reading a headline similar to this one, and I thought they were saying something like 20% of users.
Well, the question really should
Facebook.
The question shouldn't be how many people uninstalled it, but how many of this 42% went back and reinstalled it, you know, 3 months later.
Right.
That's the question.
I do see there's a chart on here with no sources. That shows like the daily active users for like U.S. and Canada, Europe, Asia, the rest of the world.
Well, it says the chart was released in late July, so that might be from Facebook's marketing team.
Okay. Yeah, so it looks like pretty much the last year, their numbers have kind of peaked compared to the growth that they had in the past for USA, Canada, and Europe.
Well, it looks like they're growing in other parts of the world now as opposed to...
Oh, yeah, yeah. But it almost looks like they've plateaued in U.S. and Europe.
Well, they probably have. I mean, the only way for them to keep growing at the rates they were growing now because would be all the fake accounts out there because, yeah. I mean, most people on the internet, even if they don't use it, have a Facebook account. You know, they set it up once to do a message or send a photo or something and then never used it again. But, you know, I think that's what I've done is I've got one that I set up like a long time ago just to, I don't even remember what I set it up for. I think I posted on it twice and never logged in again. It was more so that nobody else would steal my email address, I think. But, yeah. Whatever. I thought it was an interesting number that they were throwing out, that many people have uninstalled the app. But they didn't say it was why. They didn't say, was it because of privacy concerns, or was it just you uninstalled the app? And it was such a short study. It's like, how many of them went and put the app back on their phone, right?
I think it's to reduce stress.
Yeah, and honestly, like, yeah, you uninstall the apps and you just use the website.
A lot of people do that. Because the app sucks, too. Anybody who's actually used it, the thing's terrible.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, it's always pushing notifications and crap like that, and it's annoying.
Yeah. So, and Cycros
never
knowing
the frustration.
Yeah, Cycros had a good point about alternative Facebook apps, because there are some out there, and I like Madman's point too, that you know it's just to relax a little bit because your phone won't stop fucking going off.
Well, I know a lot of people and a lot of psychiatrists are suggesting, especially to teenagers and like the tweens, like 12, 13-year-olds, just unplug from Facebook, because a lot of the shit they're getting, it's bullshit. It's not anything helpful, and it's causing a lot of stress because they're seeing, like, friend A is going to the Bahamas. Friend A is blowing smoke up your ass. They're living the same shitty life you are. And it was to pretty much... Here, we're not going to give you Xanax. We're just going to take Facebook away. And then they stopped being depressed. And they actually started talking to people and communicating like humans.
Yeah.
So I don't know how long that's going to keep up, because eventually they're going to stop seeing the shrink and they'll be like, man, think of all the good times I had on Facebook.
Really?
Yes.
No, people are fucking retarded.
There.
No one sits there and goes, geez, I had a great time on Facebook last night. You're laughing at me, aren't you?
No, we're laughing with you. I'm actually not thinking of Facebook, though. How many of us have thought about going back into Second Life?
Just you, from what I know.
No, Suave was doing it, too.
Okay.
My addiction is WoW. It shall always be WoW.
Do you have a current active WoW account?
Nope, haven't in months.
Hey, months.
Actually, years at this point.
You're a recovering WoW-aholic.
Although the expansion has come out, and they're going to bring back vanilla morphs. I could go back and do vanilla raiding and vanilla PvP with my lock.
Can you summon people off cliffs again?
Yes. You can also... drop your Infernal in South Shore, and it will attempt to murder you and then kill everyone in South Shore. No, I'm not going to go back.
Good times. Anyways.
They were. I actually had a lot of fun.
Last article I have for tonight is from ZDNet. Thousands of MikroTik routers are snooping on user traffic. In yet another case of unpatched consumer devices representing a threat to the security and privacy of users, thousands of MikroTik routers have been uncovered, which eavesdrop on users. The routers have been hijacked through CVE-2018-14847 security vulnerability, a known bug which impacts the MikroTik router OS operating system. The vulnerability is present in Winbox, an administration utility in the MikroTik router OS, which offers a GUI for router configuration. Version 6.42 of the OS allows remote attackers to bypass authentication and read arbitrary files, yeah, because that's what you want in your fucking router, by modifying a request to change only one byte to a session ID. Oh, God. In other words, all you had to do is say, yes, I'm an admin. All you had to do is change your fucking cookie to say, yep, verified admin, and it would let you in. That's amazing.
Pathetic.
I mean, that's up there with turning JavaScript off to get the admin functions, which is a thing. While patched in August, which prevents threat actors from reading or exfiltrating data passed through the router, many models remain vulnerable because most people don't ever update their routers. They just throw them away and buy new ones. Researchers from 360 NetLab said that or out of over 5 million devices with an open TCP 8291 port online, 12 million are MikroTik, of which 370,000 devices remain unpatched against CVE 2018-14-847. Again, nobody patches their routers. The team has been picking up active exploits of a number of these routers since mid-July through a honeypot system. In total, over 7,500 of these routers are directly forwarding user data, while 239,000 have had their SOX4 proxies covertly enabled. The SOX4 port is mostly TCP 4153 and very interestingly, the SOX4 proxy config only allows access from one single net block, 95.154.216.128 switch 25. So if you're running an ISP or you're running a large corporate network, go block that IP. Just go block it now. The researchers say that in order for the attacker to gain control, even after the device reboot IP change, the device is configured to run a scheduled task to periodically report its latest IP address by addressing a specific attacker URL. The attacker also continues to scan more MikroTik router OS devices by using these compromised SOX4 proxies. 360 NetLab added, while it is not known why this tampering is taking place, the researchers believe it is something significant. Yeah, I'd say so. That's a lot of user data you're collecting. All proxy requests and the impacted devices are also redirected to a local HTTP error page in which the cybercriminals hoped would enable the launch of a CoinHive mining script using to mine Monero. They're inserting a fucking mining script in every page somebody visits if they've got one of these hacked routers. However, the attacker's
mad at this point.
Yeah. However, the attacker's own proxy ACLs blocked the script from operating. They didn't even set it up right. That's fantastic. The MikroTik router OS device allows users to capture packets on the router and forward the captured network traffic to specified stream server. The researcher said, adding that ports 20, 21, 25, 110, and 143 appear to be the most interested. So they're trying to get email. 25, 110, that's email. FTP, yeah, so they're just trying to grab. They're probably hunting for corporate data with those ports. Yeah, 21's FTP. Oh, did I say 20? I was trying to think what 20 was off the top of my head, but I know 21, 25, 110 are all email. No, 20 is FTP too. It just isn't used. It used to be, yeah, it's for when you used to have the two different ports for FTP because you used to have the different port come back. That was a long-ass time ago when you had to configure firewalls to allow random-ass ports back in. That was before Stateful. Shit. Anyways, I'm getting old, man. I remember what AS400s were.
Back in my day, we had to park the heads before shitting down.
3270 emulator to get your work done. Anyways, here we go. The day I was so happy when I found a 3270 emulator for my pocket PC, my Dell Axum pocket PC. Good times. Anyways, the majority of victims come from Russia, followed by Brazil, Indonesia, India, and Iran. Due to the researchers' findings, one attacker of IP 103.193.137.211 has now been suspended and is no longer a threat. Back in August, it was discovered that MikroTik routers were being compromised as part of a massive cryptojacking campaign. Up to 200,000 routers had been enslaved at the time of discovery and were being forced to mine from Monero by way of the CoinHive script. Enslaved. Routers were enslaved. That's an interesting way to say it, though. It's not wrong, but it's just interesting terminology to use there. So, I don't know. Update your routers, people. Seriously. Yeah. I'm not even kidding. Go check and see if your router has firmware. Like, just do it.
You know, they did shut down that attacker's IP, so everything's good. It's all taken care of, guys.
And never for 5 minutes until again. The next guy sets it up.
Yeah.
We're fucking pessimists, man.
I've seen it! I'm not pessimist, I'm a realist! What do you think my day job is?
I know what your fucking day job is.
You make cookies.
You know, sometimes
all about 3D printers and 3D printer related accessories.
Yeah, I thought he was a janitor.
I have testicular cancer.
Oh, I only got two that time.
Yeah. Mash head on keyboard again.
Okay. Feel better? I kind of do. Let's do this. Although I guess to Madman's point, I guess I kind of am a digital janitor after a while. You know.
You do. You clean windows.
Oh. Oh.
You're a window cleaner.
I'm gonna use that.
Dude, it came from the IT crowd.
Oh, I need to find the unicorn at Ops. There's a fantastic picture. Let's see if we can find that. Oh, I shouldn't have image searched unicorn NetSecOps.
Did you mistype nutsack?
No, but that's a lot of really bad DeviantArt My Little Pony shit.
Yeah.
I was looking for it's a great picture. It's the unicorn, it's labeled DevOps, and it's got the security guy behind him with the shovel. Let's see, security unicorn, is that it? No, that's not it either. Fuck. Okay, well, thanks Google Image Search. You now put a bunch of weird shit in my browser history. Moving on. First article, or first thing I have for Digital Dojo today, Hoonix actually has some really good guides in their wiki. And so I'm going to link to their computer security education because it's a really good overview. It talks about out-of-band management features, malware, core dumps, Tor browser, safe upgrades, how to use Hoonix on external media, setting up a dedicated operating system and computer for the thing, using open-source hardware, local routers. There's just an amazing amount of information in this secure computing guide. It's geared towards using the Hoonix setup, but Hoonix is open-source. It's free. And it's just how to set it up, right? So go for it, man. I mean, it's worth exploring. It's worth playing with. And it's a huge guide. There's a lot here. But at the same time, it's a really good one. So I felt like this was definitely worth linking. Like, I'm almost certain we could probably randomly click on a link here and, you know, find something useful. Like hardware, let's say general privacy and security concerns. Yeah, so this is actually down to talking about, you know, the closed source firmware on your processor and the fact that this could be a problem. So, you know, you want to make yourself good and paranoid. This is probably a good thing to read too. But it's a nice guide. It is on using Hoonix, which if you don't know what Hoonix is, it is a pair of Linux distributions. And I quite enjoy the concept. It's meant to be run that one operating system or one Linux distro is your router, and it allows you to route onto Tor. And the second one's the client. And the idea is you take advantage of virtual machine networking so that your client operating system cannot communicate to anything except your Tor router. So the only way it gets on the internet is through Tor. It literally cannot expose who you are because the machine doesn't know. It has no way to see your real internet connection. I guess unless there's a virtual machine break, but that's a rare-ish problem. Anyways, definitely worth checking out. And then the last thing I have for you tonight is kind of dangerous. It's a very interesting GitHub of botnets and viruses. So
somebody cleaned out their toilet.
Yeah, I'm not clicking on that.
This GitHub is a collection of botnet source code and is unorganized for educational purposes only. If you want to learn how viruses and botnet, if you want to learn how this shit works, this is a great resource. If you're bored and want to make the security people at your job lose their fucking minds, this source code would also, if compiled, would probably be a good way to test your antivirus scanners as well. So if you've got network equipment you're evaluating, or you just want to screw with the IT guys, this might be a good source as well. But hey, it's a collection of botnet source code. I mean, that alone is worth... it's worth looking into. I would just be careful in the folder called botnet supplies, because there's things in there like service pack 6.exe or sdk.exe. You probably don't want to run those. Just saying. But yeah, if you go into the virus pack folder, there's a lot here. And, you know, there's a lot here. Cryptors and... It's unsorted, so somebody's obviously just found somebody's repo and dumped it. But, like, just scrolling through it, here's a bunch of different versions of SpyBot. Let's see what else we got. Zunker, TXBot, Worm, RXBot, Eclipse, PwnBot, NullBot, HellBot. So, yeah, there's several droppers. So... You know, actually, if you just want to screw with your security people, just try to download this GitHub on your corporate machine and wait and see how long before you're escorted out of the building. Just. Yeah. Oh, Cycross is talking about how you can use a couple of Raspis and emulate the Hunix setup. Absolutely, totally can. The Hunix is meant to do it in virtual machines so that you can, like, do it on a laptop. So... I 100% agree with you. You can do it with Raspis. Nothing wrong with that. Totally cool. Just, I like the Hunix setup as well, and it's got a lot of write-up. It's really worth taking your time to look through. But anyways, hey, there's the image I was trying to find earlier. Let's see. Visit that so I can actually get the real URL to the image. There it is. There's the picture I was thinking of. I think I may have accidentally screwed up the link. There we go. There's that. There's that. That's all I've really got for tonight. Of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Peer decking every Thursday. Mostly. I threatened to skip the show a lot and then end up doing it anyways. Galaxy 15 radio site and the subreddit. Probably the best way to get a hold of us. Madman, closing thoughts.
I could be working from home and infect my own computer and get that onto a corporate network.
Have fun with that. I don't recommend it for your future employment prospects, but have fun with that. Are you? Closing thoughts.
Just going back to the opening thoughts. With the boy with the chainsaw and the woman, the prostitute being murdered, why not just tell the prostitution murder story for the clickbait? At least it's real. You know what I mean? Tell the truth. That's your clickbait.
Because they didn't want to die. Now the truth about the Russian chainsaw story, that could probably be truthfully told. But then it's, well, mommy was really angry with the kid and decided to decapitate her child.
It's still a downer story either way, Madman. I have nothing.
All right, Suave. Future... Sorry. Closing thoughts.
Yeah, I'm just way more paranoid now. Every single episode of Pure Decking makes me more paranoid. Makes me realize how insecure, like, everything is. You know, a guy should just go back to cash... No online banking. I can give up on that shit. Too much stress.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
But he's not wrong. That is the end of the show. I have... I can't say that on the show. Sorry, Swolf. That's it. I'm going to play the Pac-Man, so...
Great time.